All right.
So Kelly shared the last couple of weeks on John, and then I'm just going to pick it up in verse 19 of John chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's some on the back bookshelf, but please open it, open your Bible to John chapter 1, and we're going to look at basically is John the Baptist's announcement of Jesus here. So it's John chapter 1 and beginning in verse 19, and it says, "Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing.'" So John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, and of course his last name is not Baptist, but here he is. He's in his location that is out and away from people. And of course, if you look at Luke's gospel and others, you'll see what he's dressed like and everything, that he was uncommon. And he's in a place that's difficult to get to, and he's unlike everyone around him and so forth. Now, it's amazing his lineage, and you could go deeper into it and understand where he possibly was from. And it was possible he was one of the Essenes that were at Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were from. It's very likely, actually, that he was part of that community out there that were searching for the Messiah, reading the scriptures, and had prepared hearts of humility for the coming of the Messiah. But this is the testimony of John. What is his testimony ultimately? What is a testimony anyway? If someone's going to give a testimony, it's kind of like something at a court case or when you're put on trial and they ask you, "Who are you? What are you doing here? Why do you believe this thing that you believe? Why did you do those things that you did? Give us a reason for it. Justify yourself." And a testimony is something as to why I am who I am and why I'm here right now and why I'm behaving this way in this place and time. And so John's testimony essentially is because he's following God. He wants to know that his life has meaning and purpose, and so he wants to know God, see God, follow God, and he knows who he's not. He's not the Christ, he's not Elijah, and he's not the prophet. You know, he's not the Messiah, and he's not claiming to be the Messiah. Now, people are looking at him, and they're considering, what is going on out here? It's drawing a crowd. There's a spiritual life that is resonating with people's hearts who are hungry in a dry and thirsty land. Not only the landscape, but really spiritually, the priesthood of Israel at the time and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're not feeding people the way that they ought to have been. And the situation is such that with Rome breathing down the neck of Israelites and so forth, they're oppressed people and they want freedom and they want it externally, but they really want it internally. And they don't even all know that's what they're longing for, but it is what they're longing for ultimately. And so many of them are going out to the wilderness and come see this and come see a man. And they're going out, come and see, come and see. And at one point in the Gospels, he's saying, what did you come out to see? A reed shaken by a wind? What did you come out? Like, what did you want to hear when you came out? Didn't you know you were going to hear something that struck your soul? That God isn't just putting on a show for you to be entertained by. God is actually wanting to get to your heart. God is wanting to go to the places in your life where for so long we've said, no, God, this is reserved for me and myself only, and the idols in my closet, or so to speak. And John is out there not to build fanfare and not to be impressive and not to make a show. You know, I remember looking at things with the U.S. election, and there was that guy wearing this buffalo hat, and he's got like this other, it's a full-on buffalo hat hood with the black buffalo horns, and he's got a bunch of other weird-looking garb, and it turns out he was part of the January 6th thing, and he was inside the
was it the White House? Yeah, he was inside there. And they took pictures of him. Well, it turns out he was at protests all over America. And he's been doing this for years. And he's just trying to stage himself and look ridiculous so people can get a photo of this guy with the buffalo hat. And he was hired to go different places, do different things. And it turns out that's who this guy is. He's just a performer with social media and all this stuff. John the Baptist is nothing like that. He is the real deal. The guy is from the womb. Given over to God, filled with the Holy Spirit, from the womb. Imagine that. I spend so much of my life serving myself and my own pleasures and not even knowing my purpose in life. But John the Baptist, from the womb, filled with the Holy Spirit, leaping because the Messiah is in a womb near the womb he's in. That's unbelievable, right? But that's what happened. And he's telling the people, who are you? And he could have said something, you know, like, whatever. Well, I'm John, I'm this. And, you know, why'd you come here? And you're the authorities. And, or he could have gone the other way with it. You know, oh, I'm something special. Look at all the people that came out to see me. You know, he didn't go either direction with it because he's on God's mission. And all he does in his testimony is he testifies of Jesus. That's his purpose. I'm here to point to the one everybody needs to look at. I'm here to tell you about the one you need to see, and you need to hear him, and you need to look to him. And this is John's life and witness and purpose. But they're asking him, who are you? And if people asked you that, who are you? What would you say? What would you come up with? What's your testimony? Why do you believe what you believe? And why do you do the things that you do? And he confesses, and he's not denying, but confessing, I am not the Christ. He's not trying to defend himself. He's not trying to skirt the issue because he's being confronted by the authorities right now. That's what's happening. And he'll be confronted by the authorities throughout the rest of his time and in the work he's doing. And he was out here doing a work before Jesus came on the scene as the Messiah. And he had disciples. Right, that some of the disciples of Jesus, we'll see in a bit there, probably next week, we'll see that. And he points and says, there he is, follow him. So I am not the Messiah. Are you Elijah? See, Elijah, the Pharisees knew Elijah would precede the coming of the Messiah. Well, if you're not the Messiah, are you the forerunner for the Messiah? And now Jesus said, it is Elijah. He's come in the spirit of Elijah because he is forerunning the Messiah. And when Jesus returns, Elijah is going to return. You can read that in the book of Revelation. But John the Baptist comes in the spirit of Elijah, but he is not Elijah. Are you the prophet? Now, he is a prophet. And the greatest of the prophets in that he gets to be with the Messiah. Every prophet is pointing to the Messiah. Are you the prophet? Now, this goes back to Genesis. I think it's 18. Deuteronomy, and it's talking about the prophet to come, the one who will declare the way of God, the one who will be the Messiah, the prophet. And there's a prophecy about the prophet. And so, is he that prophet? No, he's not that prophet. These are specific questions from learned scholars, if you will, of the Torah, of the Old Testament. And they're asking him about those kind of questions. And he's saying to them, no, well, then who are you? We need to tell the people who sent us who you are. And what do you say about yourself then? Okay, you guys know the scriptures. Well, in Isaiah the prophet, there's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of Yahuwah. That's who I am. That voice in a wilderness. And here's John in a wilderness being a voice saying, turn your life toward him. Make straight the way. Prepare your heart for the coming of the Messiah. He wants to come into your life. He stands at the door and knocks. Will you open the door and give him entrance? Make straight the way of the Lord. Do you make it difficult for the Lord to get into your life? Do you make it resist the Lord and so forth? I hope not. I don't think so. Here you are on a Sunday night coming here to a church and being involved with something where we're singing about God and so forth. I would hope that your heart is soft, and I believe that is a big part of it, is making yourself available on an evening to come out and do this.
And he says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And the world essentially is in that place of wilderness. Once Adam and Eve were removed from the place of walking with God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, everything since has been a wilderness. The world is in a state of wilderness. Does it know where it is? Do people know really who they are? I mean, what are they thinking right now? Like, who are the megalomaniacs out there? What are they really thinking? Like, how much older can George Soros get? This isn't recorded. I can talk about these things, okay? How much older can the man get? Oh, it is recorded. All right. How much older? Can anyone answer me that? You know, like, but really, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He's at death's door. Have you seen the man? He's at death's door. He's going to die. And God have mercy on that soul. God have mercy on him, to be honest. But for the grace of God, there go I and you. And, you know, but if it wasn't for God's mercy, we'd all be damned and lost and hopeless and still in a wilderness. But he is going to bring us into the garden. He is going to bring us into his heavenly home. He is going to bring us into an eternal state which is full of glorious wonder and beauty. How many times do the prophets talk about the wilderness? And Jeremiah talks about the shrub in the desert. And in Ezekiel, I believe, and all the prophets speak about this language of the wilderness. Israel knew what it was like to be in a wilderness. But again, spiritually speaking, we know what it's like to be in the wilderness. We're born in sin. And we grow up in a place where we don't have the fullness and satisfaction that we really long for and want. But here's a voice crying out in the wilderness. And I love that. The Word of God is a voice crying in the wilderness. You know, preachers who preach Jesus are crying out in a wilderness still and saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And so those who were sent, they were from the Pharisees. They asked him, why didn't you baptize? Because baptizing, it's a huge change. If people from the Islamic faith are baptized into Christianity, they are counted as dead to their families. That is a massive change. If Buddhists get baptized, it is counted. I have friends and I'm part of a ministry where they go into other countries. And some of those countries, you know, are off limits to Christianity, and they're baptizing in secret. And you know, it's Buddhists and so forth, they're getting baptized, and you think Buddhists are just peaceful, aren't they? Well, not all. Not all. And you know, he's baptizing because when you're baptized, it is identifying with something that is totally different, totally new. Going under the water and coming out of the water. It's not just the sprinkle thing. It is going under the water, out of the water. In Latin, it's baptizo, and that's what they'd stamp on the records of ships that were sunk in the ocean. That ship's gone, you know, baptizo, all the stuff with it. Well, our life changed and then brought up in Christ, his death and his resurrection, that picture of baptism. But he's baptizing because people are like, I want that change. I need that change. My life needs to be made right. And they asked him, saying, why are you baptizing? If you're not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what are you doing? What is this you're doing? And John answers in 26, and I baptize with water. This is just water. And it does signify a heart change that they want to make in their lives. They're identifying with, I am repenting, I am turning from sin, and I want a clean heart. They're identifying with that. He said, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. He's like, it's not about me. You're interviewing me, but you need to hear about him. And that's what we should do as believers. Every believer ultimately ought to just keep referring to Jesus. What a great testimony. Oh yeah, I was sent by him. Oh, he wants me to do this. And I'm careful in today's time where I could stand up for so many different causes and so many different gospels. And I remember 10 years ago even thinking about it, social justice was just this new thing. Everybody's into social justice. And if you're a millennial and if you're not into social justice, loser. You know, like everybody needs to start a nonprofit. It's cool. You know, it's cool to have a cause. And all these miniature gospels running around out there to live and die for and give your money to and so forth. And it's like,
If I can't shout it from the rooftops, why am I saying it? You know, I used to be on Facebook, no more, I'm done with it. But, you know, on Facebook, it's like everybody, my opinion this, my opinion that, my opinion X, Y, Z. And it's just like garbage in, garbage out, constant. We want to preach Christ and Him crucified. This is the life. This is what changes the world, Jesus. We're still preaching His name, laying down our lives, worshiping Him the world over. Unknown names. It's not about celebrityism and these things the West has sometimes made it about or think, you know, that's what it's about. No, there's the brothers and sisters in Afghanistan dying because of the name of Jesus, willing to die. God knows their name. Their name is engraved upon His hands. There's brothers and sisters in China and all the other countries, you know, and Russia and you name it. And they understand it. So John points to the one whom you do not know. And then it's he who coming after me is preferred before me. Jesus was born after John the Baptist. How many months after? I'll give you a clue. Yeah, 6. He was born 6 months after Jesus. And yet, he is preferred before him. He is the eternal one. He's preeminent. And he ranks higher than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. I'm not worthy to go down to his. Now, who would say that about their cousin? My cousin and I were within a year of each other, and we got to live together during a hard season in my life and my childhood. And, you know, we're best friends and best enemies, you know? Who's going to, like, oh, man, my cousin. And I'm going to go and I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. Like, John knows who he's talking about, the Messiah. I'm not worthy to loose his sandal strap. And this is where it was done, where John was baptizing out in the wilderness beyond the Jordan there. And the next day, I'll just go through the next few verses and close. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when John was preaching, everybody would have their ears tuned right in. I mean, people weren't distracted with their phones and they weren't distracted with the latest news and all this stuff. They're out in the wilderness. And this is he says in verse 30, "Of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me." He's eternal. And then verse 31, "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness." Here he is testifying witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And he remained upon him." Who remained upon who? Who remained upon who? The Spirit of God remained upon the Son of God. The anointing. Thank you. Yes. So here you have the Spirit of God upon the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And he was always doing that which was pleasing to the Father. You know, doves are very gentle creatures. And so are lambs. Lambs are harmless. Doves, beautiful, wonderful creatures God made. How easy is it to just scare it off? If a dove landed upon your shoulder, how long would it sit there for before it takes off? Jesus is two things in this picture. He's the Lamb, and the dove remains upon the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. He's one thing. And the dove, as the Spirit, remains upon him. And I love that the Spirit is recognized as a dove. Oh, forceful. Oh, no, a dove. The gentleness. Is gentleness a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Amen. A dove. "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'"
There's one who stands among you you don't know. I'm baptizing with water. But the Messiah can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He can cleanse you and fill your life. And you can finally be in that place where your inner man is no longer in a wilderness. But the fruits begin to blossom in your life. And you get to have the Holy Spirit in your life. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, he says in verse 34. I testify this is the Son of God. That's what I testify. I know the difference of a Cameron who is not walking in the Spirit of God and a Cameron who is in the Spirit of God. When I'm proud, when I'm ugly toward people, when I'm loving, when I'm ungracious, when I'm not behaving boldly and I'm cowering in fear of something I ought not to cower under. You know, when I'm self-deserving, self-preserving, any of it. And it's about me and so forth. But when my life is lost to knowing Jesus, and I say, I'm done, I want to be baptized, I want to be forgiven, emptied, filled. Oh, now my life gets filled with the wonder of God. And it does become like a garden. Maturity is becoming more like Jesus Christ. And I love that he's the Lamb of God. And the dove comes upon him. And I can picture that, a dove with a lamb. That makes sense. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That sacrifice that he would lay down his own life to give us entrance into fellowship with a holy God. Incredible. Worth preaching. Worth announcing. Worth testifying of. Worth witnessing to. The only gospel is the gospel of Jesus. The only name that's going to last. The only name that is above all names. There's no comparative cause other than to the cause of Jesus. There's no rival. There's no equal. There's nothing that can stand up to and measure up to the identity of and the person of Jesus Christ. And so may we spend our lives worthily, and may we truly consider how we will use our lives, what we'll do with them, and who we'll worship. We've got one life to live. We've got this body, and we've got this heart and this mind, and love the God, Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. You know, be available and make your heart open. And you'll find he's gentle and he's lowly. And he comes in such a wonderful way to your life. I've never had God yell at me. I've never had him hit me. I've never had him hurt me. I've never had him abuse me. None of those things. The love of God, so wonderful. And it compels us, as we know the love of Christ, to live life in such a dynamically different, wonderful way. Lord, thank you that you are the Lamb of God. And we turn to you. We don't want to waste life wandering about in a wilderness. Lord, whenever we're in a place that feels like a wilderness, may we hear that voice of your word that cries out, that someone that testifies of the witness of your Spirit through any vessel that says, look to him, believe upon him, receive him, follow him. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that is what we need. The change that we need is the only the change you can make. God, we thank you that you're gentle. We thank you that you're so kind. We thank you that you're for us. And you would come into a dirty, broken life with your love and kindness and wash it and make it new. Forgive us and restore us, Lord, to a place we've never even been to yet. haven't been to before, this wonderful life that's in you. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love. No height, no depth, no width, no breadth, no created thing, no uncreated thing of this non-material thing that is. No, none of these things. No principality or power. None of these things can separate us from your love, Lord. We thank you. No beings, no threats, no punishments, no sufferings on this side of glory. God, we just thank you. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen.